A bright cloud overshadowed them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When Solomon dedicated his magnificent temple to God, Jerusalem, it was filled with a cloud. And the king remembered and said, half aloud, "Oh, the Lord said to me he would dwell in the cloud." But the cloud came just at the end of the transfiguration. It often seems either to bring or carry away a heavenly visitor. That was the case of Our Lady at Fatima. Peter saw the vision only a moment at the end. His eyes had been heavy with sleep. But he never forgot what he saw. When he would write later in his epistle, eyewitness of God's majesty. He remembered. The church calls this Remembrance Sunday. Remember me. Do you remember this plea of our Lord the night before he died? This solemn command which brings you to the temple of his glory every 8 days. Remember, remember thou, keep holy the Lord's day, just as we must keep holy his name every day. For every day is holy unto the Lord. And thus his priests go up to the altar daily for the sacrifice, sometimes assisted by a congregation growing since the great reset of a year ago. Sometimes only angels are at the altar. Do this in memory of me. Why? Well, in modern terms, it was what one writer calls to secure memory. In today's gospel, our Lord's agony, his struggle to the death with Satan, was drawing near. If only his three best friends, his chosen ones, could catch a glimpse of his glory, could see that he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and the Son of God. If you could make them see, and remember the truth. Then, when came the shadows, the so dark eclipse of Good Friday, Peter and James and John would remain faithful. It was not to be. In the sacred art of the East, they have a style of flat painting called the icon rather than statues. It's like the icon of the Mother of Perpetual Help here at Our Lady's altar. And Peter is often depicted in their icon of the Transfiguration, the bottom, in ecstasy, saying, "It is good for us to be here." And James is seen there too, but he's confused and he's falling away. And John is running so fast that he loses his sandal, like the child Jesus in the icon of Perpetual Help, running to his mother. But he alone of the three remained faithful. Finally, that Friday we call good, Peter denied, and James disappeared, and John never left Our Lady's side. It may be good for us to remember these three distinct responses to Thabor. One writer summarizes, delight or fright or flight. 'Tis often so with us. At Calvary, they forgot in the darkness, the confusion of that day. Their memory failed them, though, before their courage. Remember me. The church is all about securing the memory from one age to the next. It's a handy phrase, securing memory. The world is busy these days, scrubbing it away. It wants you to forget everything down the memory hole. But our story, Revelation, Christianity, since the beginning, spread by word of mouth, confirmed by miracles, later, only later, written down by eyewitnesses, filled with the Holy Ghost, faithfully taught by the Catholic Church, unchanging, the true one, not the vaccine church, ever since, without deviation or departure. Our collective Catholic memory is seen in shrines and churches and statues and in living saints, heroes, celebrated in each feast and season and Holy Mass here below, taught succinctly in our catechism, or perhaps just in the charm of a children's story, and lived without change, not always faithfully, but always with the faith from age to age. The state, civil society, our country, has a memory to uphold as well. They used to set up statues to our national heroes and call schools and streets and squares by names that were to be remembered, just as the wealthy would endow a school or a new wing of a building in their name, for remembrance sake. And all of this is now swept away by the woke people with their fictitious fixations on race and on what they call gender and all of their fake news. And the communist revolution, meanwhile, is proceeding along very nicely. Thank you for asking. Nobody much talks about it now. Oh, a bit maybe about the jab. Word is out that it actually makes you sick and may kill you. And of course, they offer no guarantees. But maybe we must take it because it will keep the masters happy, it seems, and maybe it will keep your job if you let them put a mystery genetic package into you, a bomb. You know not when or how it will explode. The communists love bombing, and they've started that again in Syria. And when the crackdown comes, maybe one day they will let you travel, or perhaps even shop. Israel, brave new world, is implementing this already. Do you think that its main ally will be far behind in this new age, in which you are meant not to remember how it was even a year ago? Last night at supper, we were reminiscing about the last concert the last normal airplane flight, just before everything changed. For them, it's not Anno Domini, the year of the Lord, 2021. This is the first year of the Great Reset, and tomorrow begins the second year, as at the French Revolution, they date it from the time of the Great Change. It started a year ago in earnest. Do you remember it was Transfiguration Sunday, fittingly enough, with all of their trans-devilry, Satan showed his face. And they were soon to tell us to cover ours, to stay home and wait for instructions. But our Lord shows us today his adorable face. And he who is God and his Father out of the cloud gives instruction, a simple one, hear ye him. Reparation, atonement, this is the great law of life. And soon the Savior will set his face to Jerusalem and to Calvary. The governments of the world, they're really one now already, the one world government, and the one world church headquartered in the Vatican, the Church of the Vaccine. Bergoglio has been quietly assembling the pieces day after day since that March day when he took over. This week he goes to Iraq, to the Tower of Babel, to restart the dream. One language, one world, one prince of this world. And you, dear Christian and Catholic and child of God, you are meant to be the slave who lays the bricks to build the tower higher and higher, until finally it mounts up to heaven, the ultimate affront to God. Now, none of this will change unless we Americans adore again the God who made us free. We were the last to worship God, or at least to acknowledge him in what they call the West, the civilized first world. We must offer reparation, repair the damage done to his name and to his holy face. Now, it's a lot to assimilate, to take in. It was so for the apostles. They saw God. We see Satan. Theirs was the theophany with Moses and Elias, the great prophets, talking with our Lord about his exit, Luke says, his death. But they remembered those three, what they had seen that day, the shining holy face, even when it was covered with not cherubim, but opprobrium, the face of God and the promise of the bliss of heaven. But today, it's just that. There is so much to take in. This year we have seen the face of Satan. But whether it be God or anti-God, the prince of this world, poor man, what are we to do? There is so much to process and take in. When we are overwhelmed, we need some time to think, to pray, to ask for help, and sometimes just to sit quietly. in our fears, our temptations, and our losses. And we have had them, many. And thus, like Jephthah's daughter in Judges, to go away for a while and to mourn, to figure out and to beg forgiveness, and also to forgive. Some people need to forgive God, and everybody needs to forgive his neighbor. But God's timetable is not our own. You know what Shakespeare says? The high schoolers are studying Hamlet this week. When sorrows come, they come not single spies, but in battalions. So here we are, witness to the death of society, smothered, deprived of air, and so many people deprived of their livelihood. So much loss. The sorrows of death do surround us. Not the fake one for which they emptied the hospitals last March, but standard issue, death, for all different causes, but of our own, of our loved ones, ever since March, one after another. Now, we believe that death is the blessed gateway to life, and yet God so makes us that we must mourn, and the saints shed plenty of tears. It all may be overwhelming. You know, the apostles didn't know what resurrection meant, but they only asked our Lord a little about Elias as they came down with him from the mountain. But they saw that day God, and they heard him, and they never forgot, not even through the tears and through their falls. And finally, because they remembered, the world was never the same. And it was a new way of telling time. And the first year was the year of our Savior's birth. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.